Hello everyone, I'm Mark and this is the Saudi Football Fanatics podcast. Today, in the absence of Andrish, we will talk through our topics with Gyula. Hi Gyula.
Hi.
Any thoughts of the disappearance of Andrish? Should the followers worry about him?
First of all, hi and welcome to all our listeners. It's good to be back. Well, about Andrish, although he's a big survivor, his multi-week honeymoon in Australia might be the final nail in his coffin. Well, honestly, nothing against Australia or the Australian people, but it's common knowledge that certain parts of that continent contains wildlife dangers, like dangerous spiders, medusas, and so on. Knowing myself and my tolerance for wildlife dangers, I would rather not visit the famous Fraser Island, where the last full-blooded dingo population lives. To make matters worse, a recent academic study states that the dingoes on the island joined forces and now they seek their prey not in small groups but in one joint large group. Not a good sign for careless travelers. Andrash is braver than I, and he visits the island. We trust that he will enjoy it and return as a happy man, or, you know, at least just return.
Yeah, or at least we'll not be torn apart by the dingoes. So, after the dingoes, our main topics today will be the matches of the national team and the basics of the World Cup qualification, the 10th round of the RSL, of course, and since we are over the quarter of the season, some thoughts about the most interesting performances and statistics so far. So let's start with the debut of Mancini.
From a footballing perspective, it didn't go very well for him. Saudi Arabia hosted two friendlies with African sides Nigeria and Mali. They narrowly drew the first match and lost the second one.
That is really sad to hear. Only one correction. This hosting actually meant that the national team played in Portugal in the framework of a training camp. But please go on.
Yeah. Thank you for this. I was shocked by the results too. It started well though. The Kingdom took the lead against Nigeria in the middle of the second half thanks to Salman Al-Farai. However, the Nigerians reversed the match and it was only Mohamed Kanno's equalizer deep in the stoppage time, which saved Mancini to taste defeat on the first occasion. The final result was 2-2. A bright note is that the Italian coach used his bench wisely as both goals were scored by his substitutions.
Yeah, nice comeback at least. The team showed great spirit.
Yes, indeed. However, let's just forget about the Mali match. Mali won by 3-1. Salem Aldassari scored the consolation goal for the Saudi team, just for the record. The good news is that these matches were friendlies only. The team needs to improve for the World Cup qualifiers, but I'm sure Mr. Mancini knows his job better than me, and they will improve.
Yeah, and speaking about the World Cup, let's introduce the system of the qualifications of Asian teams a little bit.
Yes, but only briefly, because we have a lot to talk about today. We promised to deal with the Saudi national team extensively in a separate episode once the Russian Saudi League is not so busy, but it's actually quite busy now. But about the basics, the Asia teams fight for 8 spots during the World Cup qualifiers. The qualification system is quite complicated and is divided into rounds. Let's start from the so-called second round, because this is where we are at the moment and where Saudi Arabia team joins the qualification rounds too.
Oh, okay, wait, stop right there. So I think let's be thorough. What happens in the first round?
Well, okay. So Asia teams are rated based on their FIFA rankings. some teams have to play an extra playoff type pre-qualification match, both home and away, and the winners join the higher ranked participants of the second round, who automatically start in the second round. So this first round is this pre-qualification round. But now talk about the second round. So we have 36 teams that are divided into 9 groups of 4 teams. Nothing special here. The teams play with each other both home and away matches, and the first 2 of each group advances to the next round. Saudi Arabia will play with Jordan, Tajikistan and Pakistan, and hopefully easily advance to the next round. So we conclude the second round and arrive to the third round, where there are 18 teams. These are the teams that remain after the end of the second round. They are divided into 3 groups. The same thing happens as before. They play with each other both home and away. The first and the second team of each group qualifies to the World Cup. So, if you calculate, 2 open spots remain for the Asia teams after the conclusion of the third round. So after this, the third and fourth place teams have still chance to qualify, but they have work to be done, more work. In the forefront, the 6th, 3rd and 4th place teams from the third round are divided into 2 groups of 3 teams each. I hope you can follow. The teams will play against each other, this time only once, in a neutral venue. The winners of each group qualify for the World Cup. This is how the 8 Asia spots are filled. However, and this gets even more complicated, the runners of each group still have chance to qualify for the World Cup, and they advance to the 5th round, which is the intercontinental playoff.
That was very complicated indeed. Let's hope that this intercontinental playoff will not be relevant for the Saudi team and do not go into more confusing details. So, now start the recap of the 10th round of the RSL. Maybe
Mark, come on. We had a lengthy international break where several Rotten Saudi League players represented their home countries, and you do not even want to talk about it.
Okay, that's true, Dula. As you already said, we have a lot to talk about the league, so only speak about the most interesting topic. Pick one or maybe 2, but please be quick.
Okay, I will pick one. You are right. I think the highest impact event is concerning Neymar. The trouble for the Brazilian star started when he was spotted with fellow teammates Richarlison and Vinicius Jr. partying with influencer ladies before their match against Venezuela.
And that was the smaller issue, to be honest.
Yes. The real issue happened during the Selecao's match against Uruguay, where Neymar Jr. was injured, and the injury looks really serious, likely a season-ending injury. A big, big disappointment for Neymar Jr. and Hilal fans.
What a shame. He was about to get in form for Hilal, and now his season is likely over. So, okay, then enough of this international break, I think, and let's move to the Russian-Saudi League.
Russian!
Saudi League.
Okay, let's start with Al Nassr versus Damak. I will be straight with you and tell you the result at the start. Al Nassr won 2-1. Overall, a pretty balanced game, divided by the class of Talisca and Ronaldo, but probably a draw would have been a more fair result, and we can safely say this now that our official Nassr fan is far, far away in Australia. Actually, it was 2 shots on target, which meant 2 goals for Al Nassr, while Damak had 6 shots on target, but they only scored once. Actually, Nassr started the scoring, but Ronaldo's goal in the 5th minute was rightfully disallowed for offside. The biggest chance then presented before Damak forward Hassan Cisse, who missed this glorious chance one-on-one against the goalkeeper. Actually, he didn't really even trouble the goalkeeper, we can safely say that he really should have done better. After this, Nassar had their chances to score, but the biggest chance was missed again by Cisse in the 41st minute, this time denied by a great stop with the feet by goalkeeper Al-Najjar. However, shortly after this, former Tottenham man George Nkondo was more clinical and ensured that Damak finishes the halftime one goal up. Looking at these chances, it's safe to say that Nassar could not really handle Damak counterattacks and can count themselves really lucky that the otherwise clinical Cisse had an unlucky day. So we arrived to the second half, and we had deja vu in the second half. Again, 4 minutes passed, and Ronaldo scored again, a beautiful header, but just offside again. It was all about Ronaldo, as less than 2 minutes later, his free kick went narrowly wide. The goalkeeper was already beaten. And a minute later, another free kick. Let's say Tarek Hamid, Damak midfielder, who received the yellow card for the previous free kick as well, can count himself very lucky to not receive another yellow card for handball and thus being sent off. But Damak was not that lucky, as while Ronaldo stepped up, surprisingly, Talisca took the free kick and scored, while the goalkeeper was expecting Cristiano to take the shot and went the wrong way accordingly. And again a free kick, 5 minutes later, Ronaldo stepped up, and this time he took the shot and scored an unreal free kick goal himself, setting up the end result and probably winning the most beautiful goal award of Game Week 10. Overall, missed chances in the first half for Damak and two beautiful free kicks, which ensured that Al-Nassr does the bare minimum to collect all 3 points.
One question here regarding Al-Nassr. At the beginning of the season, we saw what Nassr is capable of without Ronaldo, literally nothing. Now we can see that the situation is quite unchanged. Okay, great performance from Talisca, but what would happen if Ronaldo was injured again?
This is a really good question, but I wouldn't draw conclusions from a couple of matches at the start of the season. Clearly, both Ronaldo and Talisca are key players for this Nassr team, and their injuries would cause serious concern for both the team and the fans, but I think they have enough depth, needless to introduce a certain Sadio of Mane, I guess.
Yeah. Okay, agree. But we will see. So now, a match from the lower end of the table. What about the goal parade of the relegation derby?
You probably refer to Al Hazem versus Al Head.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah. A classic 7-goal relegation thriller. The visitors can count themselves unlucky to not get anything from this match. Purely based on the match statistics, we can say that this was a pretty balanced match. However, Al Red had much more attempts on target and corners than the home team, but they lost, regardless. The goal-scoring parade was started at the end of the 6th minute when Faiz Salemani converted a cross with a well-struck shot on the first attempt. The visitors didn't waste much time. Amir Sayud equalized with a header. The home team's defense should really have done better with handling that cross, which Amir Sayud converted. After this goal, the visitors took control of the game and should have been up 1-3, but the crossbar and Zaid's stunning save came to the rescue of Al Hazem. And the missed chances cost dearly for the visitors. First, Mohamed Al Thani put the home team in front in the 36th minute. Then Faiz Salemani doubled his goal tally. So instead of the visitors, Al Hazem took the 3-1 lead. This just shows you how things really could be different, if Al Red took those glorious chances. But they took one chance regardless at the 10th minute of the first half extra time, when everyone thought that this will be the end result for the first half. Amir Sayud took action. He dribbled past several players and shot an arrow, a rocket, into the top corner of the net. Absolutely no chance for the goalkeeper. And if not for Ronaldo's stunning free kick goal, this could have been easily the goal at the game week. But back to the match, and the result, halftime, 3-2 to the home team, but hope restored for Arrowhead. However, the hope gone, as it was Al-Hazem who started the scoring in the second half again. After a defensive error, Mohamed Badamoshi scored calmly as Hazem could lead the ball 2-1 on the goalkeeper. Still, Arrowhead pulled one goal back in the 86th minute after a special free kick combination Omar Gonzalez scored. Zaid really should have done better this time and keep this shot out. He had his hands on it, but probably he was took by surprise by this combination. Nevertheless, this, let's say, mistake didn't cost dearly to Al-Hazem, as no further goals were scored in the last 5 minutes of the normal time and during the 6 minutes added time. So the match concluded with the first victory of Al-Hazem this season. So can you imagine, this was only their first victory. And thanks to this, they switched places with the visitors on the league table and sent them to the bottom of this previously mentioned table. Still a lot of work to be done by Al-Hazem if they want to avoid relegation, as they are sitting in the 17th place of the, this magical table. let me take one more guess that regardless of the fact whether Al-Hazem and or Al-Raed relegates to the second division, looking at the performances of Salemani and Fayoud, they will likely stay in the first division.
I totally agree on that.
But enough about this big, big relegation derby. Let's travel to the top of the league table and talk about what happened on the most anticipated match of Game Week 10.
Yeah, and let's go to Jeddah and talk about the derby of the week, Ittihad versus Tabun. After the loss of the Jeddah derby, it would have been crucial for Ittihad to get the 3 points, while Tabun would avoid to let loose of Hilal in the first place. After a slower start, the away team's captain, so-called Karim Benzema, headed the ball to the goal from the cross of Coronado, 1-0 to the Tigers. However, Benzema may have felt that he needed another header. Sadly, he realized it on the wrong end of the pitch. After a dangerous corner, he headed the ball to its own goal. 2 goals for him, but only one for Ittihad, 1-1. To be honest, nothing interesting happened in the second half. Karim vindicated the whole match for himself with his first half performance, and by this it has lost its top four position, while Tabun remained second, now 3 points behind Hilal. Any thoughts from your side on this match?
Well, actually, two topics. About Benzema first. We wondered a few episodes back how his return would affect Ittihad. But hopefully, he will keep scoring in the good end of the pitch only.
Yeah.
But to talk more seriously about the other topic is Tabun's good form. And honestly, it's not that big of a surprise. At least if you follow the Russian Saudi League for a longer time, as last year Tabun finished as seventh, and they strengthened the team very well. We talked about this in depth in our transfers related episodes. Their success is clearly thanks to their strong defense. They conceded the joint second least goals, namely 8, together with Feha, and only Al Hilal and Al Ittihad conceded less, namely 7. And I think they have every chance to stay in the competition for the Champions League spots for the longer term. Although the so-called Big Four teams really spent insane amounts of money on attacking forces, at least compared to Tavern and under really much spending of English teams, to be honest, to be clear. But as we could see from this recent match, Tavern was able to minimize the damage caused by the costly Ittihad attack and attacking forces. But let me correct myself again, Benzema joined the team for free, so this is probably not the best statement I made today. But please do not forget that they do not compete in Asian tournaments, so Atavun will have their full focus on the league, and this could be a relevant factor.
I could just repeat myself, totally agree on that point as well. And now I think we should stay on the podium and speak a little bit about the league leaders.
Yeah, you refer to Al Hilal versus Al Khalaei, and this match ended 1-0 for the home team. Probably the main talking point for the fans of the Blues was the absence and season-ending injury of Neymar, of which we already talked about. Still, this was a must-win match for Hilal, and they performed accordingly. They dominated the match, especially the first half, and missed an insane amount of chances. The only goal of the match was a classic Mitrovic header, thanks to which the Serbian striker has 7 goals in the Russian Saudi League, and this joint second top scorer of the league with Murad Batna and Moussa Dembélé. Guess who is the first? Cristiano Ronaldo. Again, a real shame that Andras is not here to share his thoughts on this topic.
Yeah, I think the only thing he would probably mention beyond the praise of Ronaldo, of course, would be that strange pizza received by Mitro after the national team's game against Montenegro. Pure sportsman, only healthy foods all the time.
It's great to see that superstars like Mitro are still human beings and like simple things as a tasty pizza like any of us.
yeah, true. And we already spoke about Etihad. So I would go back to Jeddah and talk about the other Jeddah team. So since Etihad was not able to win, it was the chance for Ahli to get back in the first four with a win against Vechta. The supporters were fantastic again, just like in last week's Jeddah derby, and hoped that Ahli would continue its great run. And they were not disappointed. After a beautiful pass from Gabri Vega, whom we will talk a little bit later, ASM scored 1-0 in the first half for Ahli. Although the second half started a little bit better for Vagda, since they were able to equalize after a throw-in. The only problem is that it was an own goal with an unlucky touch by Hindi. 1-1. Almost 20 minutes later came the answer when Mahrez beautifully curved a corner and Ibanez headed the ball to the goal. Ahli led again. In the 84th minute, after a Vega shot, Mahrez scored Achli's third goal, which was their last one as well. It also has to be said that in the extra time, Al-Haji was sent off from Vedda after a brutal foul on Gabri Vega. 3-1 is the final score. Achli came in the top four, while Vegda remained in the middle of the table.
Just to be clear, ASM means Ellen Sam Maximum.
Yeah.
Certainly. Yeah. But as you mentioned, let's talk about Gabri Vega a little bit, because we got a question about him from one of our followers.
Yeah, thanks, Yula, for reminding. So one of our followers, Henrik, asked about the poor performance of Vega. Among others, his lacking contribution of goals, inaccurate passes and touches, which could mean some kind of passivity from his side, and why isn't he called up for the national team? Of course, after this game, we answered the first question, but to be serious, last year Vega played in a team which did not dominate the game, and also he was not known for the other teams, therefore he had much more space to be creative and play with the ball than this year. Contrary to that, he arrived to a team where they mostly have the ball and do not play for counterattacks. Also, he simply does not play in the middle of the pitch. This part is mainly covered by Kessié and Majad. That is why he has a smaller role in the game. Additionally, there is a complete front three in the attacking third as well, and no place for him there either. Although, I really hope that Jaisla will find his place in the team and he will be more productive, just like he was against Vegda. Anyway, it could turn out that he's only a one-season wonder, but hopefully not. Regarding the national team, the lack of good performances answers this question, I think. Although he was not invited last season either, when he was in much better form. It is always a hard question in case of national teams. There are players who cannot be missed because the coach trusts them irrespective of their performance in their clubs. For example, Podolski, previously at the German national team. It could be the case here as well, or just Vega does not fit in the concepts of the coach. But to be honest, I do not know the exact answer for that. But until he is in poor form, he won't be called up, I'm sure about that.
Also, let me add to that although it may be a common excuse, but he is still a very young player who played at his native country in Spain. And now he moved to an entirely new league to which he needs to adapt. But time is on his side.
That's true.
So I think just give him a little bit more time. But let's get back to the other matches. And I take the word here. Al-Fateh versus Abha, which ended with a convincing victory for Al-Fateh 4-1. The job for Al-Fateh was to keep all 3 points home against a so far, let's say, struggling Abha side. And they took this task pretty seriously. They fielded a very offensive lineup, which included all of Giannini, Batna, Zelayaran, and Tello.
I wouldn't really want to face such an attacking quartet, especially Batna. He certainly wants to watch the whole season.
Yeah, actually, he's in exquisite form, but really the other players are also very dangerous. And just to confirm this, actually, apart from Tello, all of them scored. Batna, who else, started the scoring, and Giannini set the halftime result of 2-0 with a goal during the stoppage time. Although Zakaria Sami Al-Sudani pulled one back for Abha in the 55th minute, leaving the game open, it didn't stay open for long, as Armenian international Zelarayan scored in the 70th minute, and substitution, Abbas Al-Hassan was the one who set the end result in the dying seconds of the stoppage time. A convincing victory for Al-Fateh and more trouble for Abha. Some consolation for the Abha fans is there, as the match was pretty even based on the statistics, but regardless of the fact that Abha had a lot of goal scoring opportunities, their defense let them down again.
Yeah, and now a much tighter game. The mid-table's leader, Fayha, traveled to one of the possible relegation teams, Al Ogdud. Onyekuru, who we mentioned several times already, proved himself again, since he was able to take the lead for Fayha after the pass of Sabiri, who is in perfect form as well now for weeks. These players and newcomers, as mentioned in our summer transfer-related episodes, are the reason for the good performance of Fayha so far. The home team was able to answer still in the extra time of the first half, as Xavier Godwin equalized 1-1 at the halftime. Only one goal in the second half, after the pass of Onyekuru, Sakala decided the match, Fayha went on with the 3 points and remained in the first half of the table. Great performance from them again. They only lost one of their last 6 matches, and they are unbeaten for 4 matches now. In the next round, they will host Cristiano Ronaldo, who may be sad, since he is not overpraised by Andrić this time.
I think he will survive it somehow.
Yeah, maybe. About Ogdud, they can improve against Damak in the next round. Otherwise, they will easily find themselves in the relegation zone.
Well, that match against Damak will be a tough one. Well said, Mark. Let's move to back to Riyadh and talk about Al-Shabaab against Al-Tai, really briefly. It's safe to say that the season didn't start as well for Al-Shabaab as their fans would have wanted, but this match looked a great opportunity to start the recovery process, and they did. Regardless of the fact that, surprisingly, the visitors had somewhat more possession, Al-Shabaab dominated the match and won 2-0. Habib Diallo scored from close range at the start of the second half after some chaos caused by an Al-Shabaab free kick. And Hussein Al-Qahtani assured victory during stoppage time after a beautiful cross from Yannick Ferreira Carrasco. So you can see that this is why Al-Shabaab signed the playmaker. And by the way, let me note that Carrasco did extremely well in the first half to dribble past two Altai players and almost got on the score sheet himself with a beautiful strike, were it not for the right post of the goal. But at least some justice for our favorite, as he recorded a well-deserved assist by the end of the game.
Yeah, and if we are in Riyadh, I say stay there for the last match. Since the awakening, Riyadh hosted the out-of-form Etifak. The only good news was that Lingard received a short-term contract from the team, but otherwise they were in a bad form, and with another defeat, they could find themselves out of the top six and 5 points from the Champions League spots. And actually, this is what happened. As the home team took the lead early with the goal of Al-Shuwayi after a huge error from the defense of Etifak. After that, Etifak had several huge chances to equalize or even won the game, but they missed all of them. Or to be precise, Delgado, the goalkeeper of Riyadh, played in an insane form and literally saved everything. Riyadh got the chance also to double their lead at the end of the game, but they missed it, and the result remained 1-0. The smallest team of Riyadh is now in a comfortable distance from the relegation zone with four somewhat surprising points against Shabab and Etifak.
Russian!
Saudi League. And now, recap of the first quarter of the season. I say let's start with the table itself as a first point.
Okay. Looking at the top end of the league table, I do not think there are many surprises apart from the poor start of the season by Al-Shabaab, which we somewhat already covered.
Yeah, I agree. But Shabab may come up on the table by the appointment of Liverpool legend Bishan, and if they will be active in the winter transfer window as well. Otherwise, I do not think that they could be in the top six or top seven at the end of the season anyway.
We will see that. Still a lot of matches to play, so careful with these type of statements. But to continue the analysis of the table, other than Shabab, the other so-called Big Six teams occupy one of the top seven spots on the table. So this is why I said earlier that no real big surprises, although you can argue which team should be in the top position and so on and so forth. But apart from the so-called Big Six teams, the already mentioned Altafun and Al-Fateh are in the top six. But we already covered Altafun, but I honestly think that Al-Fateh's position is not that big of a surprise either, at least not for me or not for you if you follow the Russian Saudi League for a longer period of time, as Al-Fateh is now in the sixth position, and they ended last year in the same position. And we already know that they signed quite a lot of quality attackers. They have great goal scorers. We already covered it when we briefly summarized their match. By the way, let me mention it here. It is very good to see Gianni returning to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia in a fine goal scoring form. He could be a real bargain for them and could steer the show. How about the other end of the table? I know this is a cheap statement, but a lot of teams could be concerned by relegation if we look at the points. Fine or poor run of form could change a lot. Again, I know this is quite an empty declaration, but it's the truth.
Yes, but anyway, no big surprises at the end of the table. Those teams are in the lower table for which we expected for. So I agree on that as well. And now let's see our second point. What is your opinion regarding the performance of the summer signings?
Could be a lengthy discussion because, as we covered, a lot of teams literally built a new team in the summer transfer window, but let me be a little bit shorter here. Overall, I think it's safe to say that many of the quality big names joining the Russian Saudi League proved to be great signings. Maybe Benzema is lagging a little bit, but let's not forget that he was injured. And obviously, we can again talk about Neymar here, who's potentially season-ending injury is a big, big disappointment. We already discussed Tevun and Fatek too. We could analyze their transfers too, which we somewhat did, but let me just talk about Damak a little bit, because they already made quality signings. If you look at the goal scorer list, you can see the difference in the attacking department, and this really could stabilize their mid-table position sooner rather than later, so they can escape relegation battle after a really poor start to their campaign. But let me switch a little bit between topics, and if we are talking about transfers, actually it's not that big of a switch. Based on the current results, we can say that Alakli's defense stabilized a little bit after earlier heavier defeats. What do you think about this? Do they need to strengthen in the winter transfer window?
I think now we can see the results of Yaisla's work. Although, I would be cautious, two or three good matches do not mean a permanent performance. I would say to watch them closely until the halftime break, so until January, and let's see what happens after the break in February. Basically, this is a totally new team, which always requires time. If they would add more new players, that may not help them anyway, but cause more problems with new faces to be built in the team.
Actually, I think we can say that in general for most of the teams.
Yeah. I don't know whether there is another topping, but I think no. So then this was all for this episode. And if you liked it, follow and rate us on Spotify. And also check us on Instagram and Facebook under the account of Saudi Football Fanatics. See you soon.